You're listening to the Are You Weddy podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Gaskarth, owner of 87 Events, a luxury wedding design and planning company. I'm here to share my expertise on everything wedding, from straightforward tips and tricks for planning your wedding to advice on how to deal with the inevitable Karens bringing the wedding drama. Stay tuned. Hey, thanks for joining me. You're listening to the Are You Weddy podcast. First, I really wanted to thank everyone so much for your support as I launched the podcast. I can plan a wedding, but I have absolutely no idea how to host a podcast. So I'm just kind of winging it and hoping that you'll all send me your feedback and, you know, help me help you. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about wedding drama. From monster-in-laws to groomzillas, emotional mothers, and the occasional crazy bridesmaid. And yes, I have dealt with some groomzillas, honestly more so than brides even. It's always like the mother-in-laws and the grooms for whatever reason. I'll never forget this one conversation I had many, many years ago. I was very much at the beginning of my career and probably had no idea what I was doing then, but I was discussing design with a couple. And the bride says, yeah, we want it to be like French country. And the groom quite literally yells, it's vintage French country, not French country. Very strange moment. Anyways, that guy was a real doozy. So if you're in the stage of wedding planning where you and your fiance are at each other's throats and maybe you're considering poisoning your mother-in-law, don't worry. You're not alone. This happens to almost every couple at some point during the planning process. Usually the reason is two things: high emotions and lack of communication. Honestly, I think most of life's problems can be solved with good communication. So to avoid arguing about the wedding with your partner, make sure you get on the same page first. Two of my very good friends just got engaged in December, Mark and Katie. Hi guys, if you're listening. So Katie went down a wedding TikTok rabbit hole, which I definitely recommend. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of information on there, but even just for fun, hop on TikTok, search wedding planning, and you'll see a lot of videos. Anyways, so Katie saw a video suggesting that couples sit down and discuss the top three things that are priorities to each of you. So Katie took this to the next level by setting a really fun little date night where they went to a brewery and they discussed their whole vision, not just their top three priorities. And not only is this, you know, a really sweet way to spend an evening with your love, you know, it's also a great way to kick off the planning process by being completely aligned. Talk through those priorities, things you love at weddings, things you hate. This is something I always have my clients do when we're kind of starting off the design process. I ask them to separately write down five words to describe their wedding vision. This could be things like romantic, warm, coastal, timeless, and then five things you love to see at a wedding, like custom bars or really pretty menus or a lot of candlelight, and then five things you've noticed at weddings that you really don't like. For example, almost every time we get long bar lines, wedding favors are sometimes in there, sometimes photo booths. Those can be on either list though. And yes, I am asking you to tear your friends' weddings up. This is for your eyes only and your planners maybe. So it's okay if you're a little savage. We're in the trust circle here. And it's important to write these things down separately. Then share them with your fiance because you might have some differences in opinion. And that is okay. You don't have to want the exact same things, but being honest about what you like and what you don't like will help you figure out not only how to create a wedding that represents like your stories, both individually and as a couple, but also will help set some expectations and just keep that healthy line of communication open between the two of you. Okay, so once you two are aligned, you can bring your families into the mix. Also, side note, I know that not everyone has a relationship with their families, and we can definitely address those types of situations on another episode, but I don't want to leave anyone out. If you have strained relationships, I'm really sorry. I know this can be like extra tough when big life events are happening. Just know that the most important thing about your wedding is the bond and new little family that you're creating with your fiance. So hang in there. So as you're bringing families into the mix, I have to say this. It's extremely important for you to stand strong together, make decisions together, and make sure you have each other's backs, particularly if your families include some strong personalities or complicated dynamics. Nothing makes for bigger blowouts than a mama's boy groom who's doing a 180 on a promise that he made for his bride because he's afraid to stand up to his mom. Start by sitting down with your families and talking through everything. Share your vision with them after you guys have discussed it on your own, and ask what's important to them. And not only is this going to make them feel special and included, it's also going to tip you off to any potentially sticky points down the line, like places that you might disagree or things that you really have to get aligned on, you know, and kind of get ahead of the drama. You should also get on the same page about their involvement, not just financially, but also physically. First, discuss your process ahead of time. If they're contributing to the budget or paying for the whole wedding, how will decisions be made? Will you just run the proposals by them, or are they giving you a chunk of money and you're handling everything on your own? This can really be different for everyone, and I've seen every single situation. You know, I've had clients where their mom makes almost every decision and they just kind of okay it. I've had it be the exact opposite. So, you know, it's important to chat about it first and see what everybody feels comfortable with. And also talk through what they would like to be involved in or what you would like them to be involved in. I find that giving them a little purpose and special attention really helps, particularly with in-laws. You can invite them to the food tasting. That's always really, really fun and a great way for your in-laws and your parents to get to know each other if you're allowed to bring that many people. I also think it's nice when you invite your mother and your mother-in-law to the final floral meeting. By this point, you've already selected pretty much everything. It's like 95% finished and you're looking at a sample in person. And they get a sneak peek of your flowers and to help you finalize that look. It's like a nice happy medium. They feel special and involved, but it's not happening at the beginning of the process, so it doesn't really leave room for them to try and change your overall vision, if that makes sense. I had a situation arise with a client's mother that could have been avoided if they had communicated along the way a little more clearly with one another. Most of the time these days, I'm doing the planning with the couple, like 75% of the time, and mom and dad pop in along the way. So with this one client, we had discussed having traditions from both the bride and groom's faiths in the ceremony, which was really meaningful to them. It was something that we talked about a lot. It was very important to them. And I assumed that their parents were aware of this, but on the day of the wedding, the bride's mother had no idea what was happening during the ceremony, and she felt really lost, and I think she was pretty upset about it. This could have been completely avoided by discussing the priorities, the expectations, and, you know, how much her mom wanted to be involved. You know, this mom in particular was also very emotional and had had issues with quite a few things that were very unwarranted. But you know what? Sometimes people are just tough. It happens. And as hard as we try, we just have to do our best to take a deep breath, remember the why, and attempt to diffuse the tension with some kind and clear communication. Kind and clear. Then we hug and we move on. With parents, this is a really, really emotional time, especially for mothers, I think. Even more so with mothers who are giving away their sons. My mom, who is really not an overly emotional person and is just the kindest soul ever, she had a bit of a moment at my oldest brother's wedding. She really didn't like her hair and makeup, but I think what was actually behind those emotions is that her baby was getting married. You know, it was the first in the family, and it was a really, really emotional time for her. Luckily, my mom turned things around pretty quickly and had a great time, but these things happen all the time. So it's also important to give your parents a little grace and understanding because this is a big deal for them as well. Okay, let's talk about bridesmaid drama. This is always a fun one. What is it with bridesmaids, man? There's always one, right? I think it's usually them attempting to protect the bride and help, but they do it in a way that just ends up pissing everyone off. So how do we avoid this? By delegating and by being clear about your own desires and expectations. I'm going to tell you a little personal story. So when I was planning my own bachelorette party, I disregarded almost everything that I wanted because I was trying to accommodate everyone else. Genuinely, it was like the worst trip of my life. Wrong location, wrong activities, wrong everything. And it was really not representative of who I am. And this was a big lesson that I learned that I've now shared with all of my friends who have gotten married, as well as my clients. Do what you want. This is about you. I completely understand wanting, you know, everyone you love to be there and being sensitive to their budgets, but if it's going to cause you to not have a good time, it's not worth it. Anyways, back to delegating. So let your bridesmaids and groomsmen know what would be helpful to you while also being courteous of their time. If they want to help and you want them to help, let them. But it's also okay to say that you don't want any help. Last but not least, another great way to avoid drama is by thinking outside the box. Go non-traditional. Let's say you don't have a really great relationship with your dad, and so you don't want to go the traditional route of having him give you away. I mean, give yourself away, thank you very much. Anyways, there's no rule saying you can't do whatever you want. Walk yourself down the aisle, walk with your fiance, or a member of your wedding party, or your grandma, or even your dog. Honestly, I'm really partial to the latter. Or what if your parents are divorced and you're not sure what to put on the wedding invitation? You don't have to put your parents at all, or you can list everyone. There are plenty of ways to make this look nice on an invitation and make sure that everyone is represented and feels comfortable. Again, this comes back to communication. Everything comes down to communication. Think through it, talk it out, be clear and kind. I could go on for ages about this, but we still need some time to answer Q&A. I absolutely loved receiving your emails over the last few days. It's been so cool to see some of the feedback and just really hear what's on your mind. That's what this is all about. So remember, for next week, if you want your question answered, email at hello@ruweddy.com. All right, let's jump right in. First question comes from Victoria, who asks, what if something goes wrong with the vendor booking? For example, what if your photographer gets sick or has an emergency to where they can't make it? Should you have backups just in case? This is a great question to ask your vendors before booking them. Most of the time, if your photographer or someone else has a family emergency or gets super sick and can't make it, they will find a replacement for themselves. This rarely happens, but with us having 2+ years of experience with COVID weddings, where it happens slightly more often than it used to, most vendors have a plan in place and would be more than happy to go through this with you before you even sign your contract. Next question comes from Emily. When it comes to picking musical entertainment for the big day, can you give any pros and cons you've experienced when it comes to DJs versus live bands or groups for the reception? Okay, this is something that I could spend an hour on probably, but I'll go through it really quickly. Pros for bands. Live music always seems to create a really unique and memorable evening. It's just a different feeling in the room, my opinion. I feel like it's somehow warmer and like more infectious energy. Number two, more interaction with the crowd. Not in the corny way, but think about when you're in the audience at a concert and you're interacting or singing to the musicians and whatnot. Same thing goes here. Number three, it's a little more interest and a little more sophistication with the instruments. You can add in horns, strings, bongos, you name it. And it's also really fun to have your band play to different aspects of your heritage if they're able to. Okay, cons for bands. Usually more expensive. They take up more room. And they usually need to take breaks where, you know, they'll switch you to a playlist. And sometimes this can cause little lulls in dancing or in the energy in the room if people were like really vibing with the band, which usually they are. All right, moving on to DJs. Pros, cost friendly. It's less limiting in terms of style and song choice. Like your DJ will most likely be able to play any song you like, whereas your band might not be able to. And last, hearing the song exactly as you know it, not the cover version. So this is an interesting one because I love a cover and I think it's, you know, really fun and unique. But at the same time, if you are emotionally attached to certain songs and you're not really a cover person, then definitely don't book a band. All right, DJ cons. One, it can be really corny. Two, a bad DJ is really, really bad. One time at a client's wedding years ago, The bride had hired an older DJ, probably for a good price, and thinking, okay, it doesn't really matter. Like, how can you mess up playing music? Oh boy. You definitely can mess it up. He played music from like the 70s for a full hour. It got kind of ridiculous. And at first I was just observing, hoping it would take a turn. And eventually I had to step in and steer the ship a bit because absolutely no one was on the dance floor. It was really embarrassing. Last, allowing your guests to make requests could possibly land you in a situation where you're hearing music that you don't necessarily like. Like, bands don't usually take requests live, so there's less chance of you veering off course. All right, next question. This one comes in from Kat. I live overseas in Germany, and my wedding is in the States, in Montana. The groom is German and I'm American. We have a handful of his family that can make it to the wedding, but a lot obviously can't. We do plan on having a smaller wedding in Germany, but the Montana wedding is the wedding. What's the best way to still share the experience of the Montana wedding with the German family? Another great question. I think it's great if you're able to host like a small party at your house afterwards or a small wedding where people can sign your guest book, you can do a viewing of your wedding video and, you know, have your wedding album out or on display for people to look at. So I think that's great and you're already off to a really good start. The other thing that I've had people do, particularly over the last year with COVID, is to have a videographer do a live stream of the wedding ceremony. And sometimes they can even do the reception as well. You know, obviously most people aren't going to tune into hours of content, but it is really, really nice, say for, you know, your grandparents or something, to be able to watch a live stream, particularly of your wedding ceremony, so that they really feel like they're there in person. Last question comes from Josh. Actually, this one did not come to me via email. It was a friend of mine who called me today with a question about his own wedding. He said that their venue just told them that they have another wedding the night before their wedding, so they can't have the rehearsal on site, and asked what they should do. So in this case, this is happening more and more these days with COVID weddings, even on Fridays. And that was his situation. They have their wedding on a Friday and they weren't expecting the venue to have, you know, a wedding on the Thursday evening before. So they thought they would be able to have their ceremony on site with no problem. These days, it's just really not guaranteed any day of the week. So what I usually recommend is either adding a quick rehearsal into your timeline for the day of the wedding, maybe like 15 minutes where you just kind of go through everything, everybody's already there and on site, super easy. Or as long as there's nothing really complicated about the location of your wedding ceremony where you would need that time on site, just do it somewhere else. It can be at your rehearsal dinner spot, at your hotel. Obviously, make sure you get permission for this ahead of time. But yes, this is something that we're dealing with quite often these days. So I think that it's going to become more and more common to either do your wedding rehearsal on site on the day of your wedding or to do it completely off site. And that is all the questions we have for today. For next week, send your questions or episode topic requests to hello@ruweddy.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy planning.